Thank you, Brother Mark, and thank you, choir. Good morning. It is so good to be with you. I tell you, you'd have to go to heaven for singing to get any better, wouldn't you? It is really. And, you know, just the thought that you and I can praise the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you feel like you really are qualified to praise Him? All right, I want to give you a little test, okay? Not original with me. We're going to find out who's qualified in this service to praise the Lord. Put your hand right here in front of your face. Now blow real hard. Feel that breath? You're qualified. And the Bible says, let all that hath breath do what? Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that you're here today, and I bring you greetings from our executive director, Dr. J. Robert White. I know he would cherish the opportunity to be here this morning. But thank you so much, Pleasant Valley South. Thank you for all that you do for missions here and around the world. And thank you for almost $130,000 almost last year given through the cooperative program. So I'm so grateful for that. And all that you do for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you have your Bible today, I would direct your attention to the book of Proverbs chapter 3. And I want to read verses 5 and verse 6 and share with you a message entitled, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. Now, I believe in all of our lives there comes that time when we face certain situations that we absolutely just have to go back to the drawing board. We have to go back to God's Word to find out what to do. But I want to tell you today that the Scripture that I'm going to read to you are words that will lead to a life of excellence in any situation of your life. In fact, these are words that will grow a church, that will change your life, and change the life of other individuals. In fact, these are words that if we adhere to them, I believe that God will use these words to bring about a great revival in our day. And boy, do we need it. You want to know what real Christianity is all about and how to receive the real blessings of God in your life, you want to read and apply Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Because the only way we're going to have a life that will really make a difference is to put into effect what the writer is saying here in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Listen to these words. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. How many of you believe that? Amen. Now, I'm not going to ask you how many of you practice that. But I'm going to challenge you today to apply this in your life. Because you see, I believe that every one of us have a choice to make in life. And that choice is simply this. We have a choice to decide at what level we're going to live our lives. Now, you know that there are only three levels that any person can live their life on. And I want to share them with you briefly and then go on into the message. But, you know, there are three levels in which every one of us in this room, one of these three would describe the life that you are living today. The first level that some people live their life on is what I call the hellish level. And the reason why is straight out of the pits of hell. And that is, the person living on the hellish level returns evil for good. Somebody does good to them, and they in return turn evil to that individual that's been good to them. That's the hellish level of living our lives. And then there's a second level, and it's what I call the human level. And the human level is simply this, that if you treat me good, I treat you good. You treat me bad, I'm going to treat you bad. And that's the human level. There are many people that live their life on the human level. That's not the best, though. I want to tell you, if you're going to have God's best, you've got to learn about the third level, and that's the heavenly level, which simply says this, no matter what people do in our lives, we return good to that individual. It's the principle that Jesus spoke about when He talked about going the second mile with individuals. Now, so many times today, people fail to do that very thing. In fact, they won't even go 1 mile, right? I heard, I never will forget, years ago, Danny Waters, who's now with the Lord, telling us guys when we were in seminary a story that he had heard. True story. It was a summer evening in Broken Bow, Nebraska, and a weary truck driver pulled his rig into an all-night truck stop. All the guy really wanted to do was to get him a hamburger and some fries and a cup of coffee and eat that and go get in his sleeper and get some rest. Well, when he entered the place, he placed his order. They brought the order, and there were three motorcycle guys in there, you know, of the Hell's Angels type, you know, leather jackets and really rough guys. And when the waitress brought this guy his food, one of them come over there and just reached and grabbed this guy's hamburger and began to eat it. The other one grabbed a handful of his fries and began to eat his fries. And the other one walked over and got his coffee and just began to drink his coffee. Well, now the question is, how are you going to respond to that? What to do when you don't know what to do, right? Well, this guy didn't respond the way they expected. He got very calmly from the table, and he walked to the front of the diner, laid the money down there near the cash register, and just walked out in the dark. The waitress followed him up there, and she got the money, put it in the cash register, and stood and watched him as he pulled his 18-wheel truck off of the parking lot out into the dark. She walked back there where the motorcyclists were. One of the guys said to the waitress, "Well, he's not much of a man, is he?" She said, "I don't know about that, but I know he's not much of a truck driver. He just ran over those three motorcycles out there in the parking lot." What to do when you don't know what to do? You know, I fear that guy failed the test, aren't you? I really do. I don't think he really did exactly what he ought to be doing. I think he must have been living on the human level. There are three things I want to say to you this morning that will help you in those difficult times in your life. The first thing I want to share with you is simply this, that it's important that we trust in the Lord. It's important. You'll never accomplish anything worthwhile and lasting and permanent for the kingdom of God until you learn to trust in the Lord. You know, it's amazing what God could be doing with many lives today, and yet those people think they couldn't do what God is calling them and leading them to do. How are we going to ever get the confidence that we need if we don't learn to trust in the Lord? I learned right out of high school, I graduated in 1968 from Cedartown High School, and if you remember, the Vietnam War was raging, and I had a problem in the fact that God had called me to preach my senior year in high school. And yet only as an 18-year-old would think, you know, I thought, you know, if I announce my call to preach before I do military service, everybody will think I'm just trying to avoid the Vietnam War. And you remember, it was raging back then in 1968. And so only as an 18-year-old would think, I said, well, here's what I'll do. I'll go ahead and join the Marine Corps, get my service done, and then I'll come back and I'll answer the call to preach. So in April 69, I entered the U.S. Marine Corps, went to Parris Island for my basic training. Now, if you've ever been there and you've been in through the Marine Corps, you know they have it where you arrive about 3 o'clock in the morning. That's on purpose. And I tell people, believe it or not, those drill instructors will come out and personally greet you at 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, I'm not going to tell you how they greeted us, but they greeted us. Well, we formed our platoon. And after forming platoon 283, we stowed our gear. And then as a platoon, one of the first things they told us we were going to do is run together in a forced run as a platoon. They gave us these instructions. You don't break formation for anything or anybody. If the guy in front of you falls, he better fall out of the ranks, because you don't break formation. If he don't get out of your way, you step on him and you keep on running. And with that, they began to run us around and around and around this huge track. I didn't think it was going to ever end. And they gave us these instructions, too. They said, if you fall out on this run, when we come and throw water in your face, you better not come too. And so we ran and ran, and guys were falling all around me. And just to be honest with you, I was thinking about falling out on that run myself. I didn't, but I was thinking about it, you know. And I thought, I don't know how much more of this I can stand. And about that time, they called a halt to that run. Folks, I want to tell you, when I witnessed what they did to those guys that fell out on that run, I was instantly motivated for the rest of my time at Parris Island. I knew I could do anything. I could surmount any obstacle. I want to tell you, they motivated me just like that, to know that I could do what I didn't think I'd be able to do. Well, you know, we're not the Marine Corps, right? And the Lord's not the Marine Corps, but He's got something even more effective than the Marine Corps to motivate us. And you know what it is? It's the love of Christ that constrains us. And yes, we are more than conquerors through Him. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. So I want to tell you, it's important that we trust in the Lord. It's important to us to believe that we can do the very thing with His help that God is calling us to do. Can I tell you, it's important to God's work too? I believe everybody needs to be doing something in the cause of Jesus Christ. I remember hearing Dr. E.J. Daniels years ago, an evangelist out of Florida, Orlando, Florida. And Dr. Daniels was talking about how in one of the sermons he was preaching, about the different kinds of Baptists that there are. And you know, there's a lot of different types of Baptists. And he said in that sermon, he named all those Baptists. And after the service was over, he said a dear black minister came up to him, said, "Dr. Daniel, there's one group of Baptists you left out of that list." He said, "Really? I thought I'd got them all." He said, "No, there's another group of Baptists and you failed to name them." He said, "Well, what is it, brother?" He said, "There's another group known as the Lily Baptists." He said, "I don't think I've ever heard of them." He said, "Oh yeah, you have, Dr. Daniels. We've got them in every church." He said, "Don't you know the Lily Baptists are those that neither toil nor spin in the church?" And E.J. Daniels said, "Oh yeah, I fear I've met a lot of Lily Baptists. I hope we don't have any Lily Baptists here today. I hope everybody here senses the call of God upon your life and you're doing the very thing that God has called you to do." You know why? Because it's important to God's church. It's important to the growth of the church. It's important to the glory of God that we learned to trust in the Lord. And I tell you what, it's important to other people that we learn to trust in the Lord. One of my heroes, I guess you could say, was one of your former pastors, I believe, right here at Pleasant Valley South. A guy by the name of Robert Akins. Anybody ever heard of Robert Akins? He was one of your pastors years ago. Great man. Had a contagious spirit about him. Optimistic. I mean, he was one of the most upbeat, happy, joy-filled preachers I've ever had the opportunity to meet. And Robert just seemed to not ever get down. You know, and, you know, he had fought in World War II with Merrill's Marauders. If you remember that group, a real blood and guts outfit. And while he was there, he got saved, came home, started preaching, started pastoring. And, I mean, an associational missionary was talking to another preacher about Robert one day. And the preacher said to the associational missionary, said, "You know, I believe Robert really loves the Lord." And the guy, the missionary said, "Yeah, he really does." He said, "I believe he's going to really make it to heaven." And he said, "Yeah, I do too, if he don't run by it." You know, and so, I mean, Robert was just that kind of guy. But, you know, he had trials in his life. And trial after trial came, and yet he never lost his joy and his enthusiasm. And most of all, he never lost his trust in the Lord. His wife died with cancer. Robert kept on serving God. Loved his wife and it hurt, but he kept on serving the Lord because he trusted in the Lord with all of his heart. Not too long before Robert died, he was talking to this guy. And the guy told the story. And he said, Robert decided, "Son, I thought about getting me a new car." He said, "Really?" He said, "What'd you do?" He said, "Robert said, well, I talked to the Lord about that." He said, well, Robert, what did the Lord say to you? He said, well, not in audible terms, but he said, it was like the Lord was saying in my spirit, well, Robert, have you got the money to buy a new car? And Robert said that when God told him that, he said, son, I just told the Lord, well, Lord, if I can't have a new car, you're just going to have to bless this old car to see me through. And when he said that, the guy said, Robert, do you believe God can bless a bunch of nuts and bolts and tires? And he said, Robert fired back just like that. He said, well, son, I'm made out of dirt and God blesses me every day. You know what I mean? Here was a man that knew what I'm talking about today. It's important to others that we learn to trust in the Lord. Can I tell you something else today? It's imperative that we lean upon and that we acknowledge God. It's imperative that we do that. That's the only way we're going to ever really accomplish the will of God in this walks of life, is to lean upon and acknowledge God. You know, that's the only way we're going to be consistent. You know, I remember reading somewhere in the Bible where the Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, that sounds like to me that God is saying, I want you to be consistent in season and out of season. I want you to be consistent for me. One of the greatest lessons I guess I've ever had about learning to be consistent was during the first fuel crisis we had back in the back in the 70s, I guess, or early 80s, somewhere like that. And I had a perfectly good 77 LTD, and I also had a perfectly good Chevrolet pickup truck. Well, the pickup truck didn't get too good of mileage, so I decided I was going to economize, and I was going to get me one of these little small cars, okay? So I sold my perfectly good pickup truck, and I bought a little orange Datsun. Any of you remember the Datsuns? It's a Nissan. They're fine automobiles, and I'm driving a Nissan now, but you can get a lemon in anything you buy, right? Ford, Chevrolet, whatever. And when I got that little orange used Datsun, man, did I get a lemon. I mean, I could not tell you how many times it put me on the side of the road. The last time it did that was a hot August day. My wife and I, we're going to Kennestone Hospital to make a visit over there. And this orange Datsun that had already put me on the side of the road a number of times, put me on the side of the road the last time. Fortunately, I was in the outskirts of Marietta. I was able to coast into a service station. There was a phone booth. This was poor cell phones, right? How many of you remember phone booths? Yeah. Okay. So I was able to, there was a phone booth there, and I went over and called one of my deacons. He said, just hold tight. We'll have somebody there. I'll get you home and just as quick as I can, Brother Charles. And I never will forget as I hung the phone up that day. And this was back in the day when preachers wore suits Monday through Sunday, right? And I'm in a suit. I'm sweating. It's just pouring off of me. But I'm madder inside. At that orange Datsun. And I'll tell you exactly what I was thinking. When I hung that phone up, I thought something like this. This is it. I've had it. This is the last time that that orange Datsun will ever have the opportunity to put me on the side of the road. I'm through with it. If I live tomorrow, I'm going to go and I'm going to buy me a new car. I went out there where my wife was perspiring greatly. You know, women don't sweat, but she was perspiring. And she, you know, you guys that are married, you know what I mean? When that wife puts the finger out like that to you. My wife pointed her finger at me like that. And she said, Charles Drummond, if you live till tomorrow, you're going to go buy a new car. So the next day, I went down to Forsyth Ford, bought me a new Ford. I said, I'm through with this Datsun. I don't want anything to do with it. It's let me down the last time. I'm through with it. So I sold it to my father-in-law. He was a mechanic. He knew about all the problems I'd had with it. And would you believe it never gave him a minute's trouble? But you know, when I think about consistency, I think about that orange Datsun. And here's what I think. I am so glad God is not like me. Because I wonder how many times we have been just like that orange Datsun and we haven't been consistent in serving the Lord. Can I tell you today, if we're going to be consistent, the only way we're going to do that is to trust in the Lord, lean not upon our own understanding, and in all of our ways acknowledge Him. You see, that's the only way to be consistent. And that's the only way, too, that we can really be courageous to do what God is telling us to do. Because sometimes, believe it or not, we're called to do things that are a little unusual, that are a little strange, and sometimes we just need some courage, don't we? Now, where's that courage going to come from? I believe that courage is going to come when we as individuals learn to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not to our own understanding, and in all of our ways acknowledge Him. One of the things that I do as a state missionary, I've got about 9 pastor roundtables around the state where I go, and it's a time of iron sharpening iron with pastors. And it's really for evangelism and for church revitalization and things like that. I started a new one the other day down at Milledgeville, and I was getting to know the guys, and one of the guys, pastor by the name of Kenny Walker, and he gave me permission to share this. Kenny Walker's pastor of Victory Baptist Church there in Milledgeville. And we were talking about trusting God. And he told me how he reached a time in his life where he didn't have much time left. He had a rare form of acute leukemia. Already been diagnosed. And he said, you know, my wife is a very spiritual lady. He said, in the day that they were to do the final test before I was going on treatment, he said, my wife had been praying. And he said, she came to the side of my bed and she read these words to me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. He said, and then the next verse said, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. He said she read that. And he said, we claim that. He said, that day, God healed me of the rare form of leukemia that I had. He said, I asked God for 15 more years. He said, that was 30 years ago. I tell you what, he's excited. He's courageous. He's witnessing to everybody he can. He's telling them about the Lord. You know, God blessed him with all these years. Have you ever thought why God has blessed you with all these years? You know, I know people half my age that have done gone on. I want to tell you, God has blessed us that we might be consistent, that we might be courageous, that we might be compassionate individuals with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we might do that great commission. And I'll tell you, there are times you better not lean to your own understanding. A while back, I was asked to do a revival in Augusta, Georgia. And on the Wednesday night of the revival, they had youth night. And right over here, we had a group of youth that they had gone out in the vans and they had brought them in. And do you know what I mean when I say they were not church broke? I mean, these kids come off the streets. And boy, I mean, I was sitting right over here and I'd look over there and I was saying something like this to myself. 15 minutes, Charles. You better not preach longer than 15. I will preach more than that today, okay? But 15 minutes, because y'all are church broke, right? 15 minutes, 15 minutes. And so I did wind up about 15, 18 minutes. But I had to just go ahead and do what I felt God wanted me to do, and that's share the gospel. Folks, when we gave the invitation, 23 precious, one of those kids came, knelt on the altar, and gave their life to Jesus Christ. You know why? Because somebody shared the gospel with them. Because I didn't lean to my own understanding, and that I wanted to acknowledge God in all my ways. I want to tell you something. It's impressive. It's impressive to see the results when we trust God. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? First of all, know it's important to trust in the Lord. Second, realize it's imperative that you lean not to your own understanding and that you acknowledge God in all your ways. And thirdly, you'll be impressed to see the results. Because it says, He shall direct your paths. Do you believe God can guide your footsteps? Do you really believe that? Folks, I want to tell you, He most certainly can do that. There's a song that we used to sing when I was a young boy. And it's a song that's written by, at that time, a 49-year-old blind music person, a blind composer, by the name of Fanny Crosby. Anybody ever hear of Fanny Crosby? And she wrote that great hymn, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. You remember that great old song? I was blessed to find out how that happened. She was in a very spirit-filled meeting in the Bowery Mission for Men, New York City. And she got up at the end of the service and said, if there's some boy here that strayed from his mother's teaching and you're not right with God, I want you to come see me after the service. And after the service, this young guy came up to her and said, Miss Crosby, were you talking about me? He said, I know I've strayed from my mother's teaching and I promised my mother when she died that I'd meet her in heaven. He said, but I know that if I were to die now, I'm not prepared to meet God. He knelt on the altar and prayed, gloriously accepted Christ as his Savior. When he stood up, he said, now I know I'm ready to meet my mother in heaven because I found the Lord here today. Fanny Crosby was so impressed that night she went home and she pinned down the opening words to that famous hymn, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring ones. Lift up the fallen. It says, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will what? Save. And He will, folks. If we want to see people saved, if we want to see the impressive results, we've got to put Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 to work in our lives. He shall direct your paths. William Carey believed that God could do that, and so he went to India, and for 7 long years he labored before having the first convert. I tell you something else. John Wesley believed that. John Wesley used to ride 5,000 to 7,000 miles a year by horseback and preach the gospel. Did most of his studying, he said, in the saddle because he believed God could direct his path. David Brainerd believed that. That's why he left and staggered into the Delaware woods. See, David Brainerd was a very sick man. But for 5 long years in those Delaware woods, he won Indian after Indian after Indian to faith in Jesus Christ. At the end of those 5 years, he staggered out of those woods, fell in the arms of his fiancée, and went home to be with the Lord, because he wanted God to direct his paths. George Whitefield in his day was one of the most famous preachers of anywhere during that time. As George Whitefield got on up in a few more years and got sick, doctor came to see him and he said, "George, I'm going to slow you down." He said, "George, from now on you can only preach 4 hours a day and 6 hours on Sunday." And George Whitefield rose up from his sick bed and said, "Doc, what you want me to do, rust out on God?" David Livingston heard his father-in-law, Robert Moffat, who had been to Africa, give a testimony. And he said, Robert Moffat said, "I've seen the smoke rise from 1,000 villages where not one missionary has ever been with the gospel." And David Livingston, with the gospel burning in his heart, said, "If God will give me strength, I'll go to Africa and I'll go to those 1,000 villages and 1,000 more if God will give me strength." I see Livingston going to Africa, battling the bush, the heat, the swarm of mosquitoes, 31 attacks of fever that finally struck him down. He had an arm that he couldn't even use because a lion had mauled him. And yet he saw no place in this world to quit trusting God. The day of his death, when he didn't come out of his hut at the appropriate time, his beloved Africans went in and found their leader, their missionary, had died on his knees by his cot, praying for the lost of Africa. After they wept a while, they carried out David Livingston's last request. Because you see, he said, "When you prepare my body to ship it back to the homeland, before you do that, I want you to take a knife and I want you to literally cut my heart out of my body. And I want it to be buried here in Africa." He said, "Because I want my heart to be buried where God's heart is at. And that's where the lost world." You know, I think it'd do every one of us good to say, "God, where is my heart? What's it all about?" Somebody said, if you want to enrich days, plant flowers. If you want to enrich years, plant trees. But if you want to enrich eternity, plant the gospel in the heart of another individual. You know what God's got us here for? To be His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I told you the story about Fanny Crosby. Let me tell you the conclusion to that story, if I could. It's many years later. In fact, it's 1903. Fanny Crosby is now 83 years of age. She was 49 when she led that young man to faith in Jesus Christ. At 83, she goes to Lynn, Massachusetts. And she shared again her testimony there at the YMCA. And in that testimony, she shared about the incident that led to her writing the great song, "Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying." After the meeting was over, people were coming by and they were shaking hands with her. And you can imagine her surprise when she said, this guy came up to her. He said, "Miss Crosby, I was a young boy that you told about Christ over 35 years ago. He said, I got saved that night. And ever since that night, I've tried my very best to live a consistent Christian life." Then he said, "Miss Crosby, if we never meet again in this life, I'll meet you in heaven." When he said that, he grabbed her hand, brought it up to his mouth, just kissed her hand, and was gone. And to this very day, That young man remains a nameless individual that heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. What am I saying? It's important to trust the Lord. It's imperative that you lean not to your own understanding and that you acknowledge God in all your ways. And only then will you see the impressive results. You see, if you live out Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I can tell you the regrets are going to be less when you come down to the end of this life and you go out into eternity. And not only that, one day as we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, if we'll live out these words, the rebuke will be lighter. And the rewards are going to be greater. And I tell you something else. The rejoicing will be uncontainable in your life and in mine. And most of all, the glory of Christ can be restored in our life and in His world. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Well, I know today I can preach as long as I need to, but I know Baptists quit listening after about 30 minutes. Amen? We're going to give an invitation. Now, I'm going to invite you to stand with me to your feet right now. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed.